B-Pod Studios.
Or out of town, Boston's Home for Sports is on your phone. Listen live or download an original podcast. 98.5 The Sports Hub. That's an app.
This is where Boston sports fans start their day.
Oh, now, focus.
With Toucher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I have a big announcement to make. I can't wait to drop it on all y'all this coming Tuesday. It's going to be fun. It's going to be wild. It's going to be a good time. Come check out my Instagram page this Tuesday, 9 a.m. Eastern Time, to hear the news. Let's go.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And once this announcement comes out, I refuse to...
I'm not sure if it's the news that you're expecting tomorrow, but I can tell you this. It's going to be fun, and it's going to be legendary. Camille?
It's going to be epic. You want to know why? Because I'm going to be there. See you there, baby!
Me too!
Ick.
Mm.
Ew.
Relationship promos together.
Wow, she's going to be there? Ooh la la! Wow. I'm going to be in the presence of somebody that I'll never meet.
Camille.
And it's all happening on Instagram. Does that mean she's an influencer, I think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, she's a sports
I'm an influencer. At Fred Toucher, I'm an influencer. At Fred Toucher. I got all the sweet gear and kicks.
Okay, so I'm on his Instagram right now.
Oh, God, what? You're 4 minutes late!
And usually, I thought they would put like one of those videos up, but that's not up. It's just a picture of him, and he's sitting in a bathrobe. And he says, introducing Gronk Beach. I'm going for the championship of partying in Miami with my very own music festival.
Yeah!
Oh, you have audio? Oh, hang on. Let's.
Oh my God.
Where'd you find this gem? Let's go and let it roll.
Yo, Gronk, what's up, my man? I've been working on the most genius game plan ever. My ship. Forget about that ship. I'm talking about the ship. Did I hear ship? Did someone say championship? This again. No. We are not talking about SBLIV. We are talking about getting LIT. That's right, buddy. Drink up. Sippy sip sip. Bro, you have so much left in the tank. We need you back on the field this season, fighting for another ring. We're going to be world champs again, but this time of party. It's going to be the biggest rager Miami has ever seen. Time out. This is a bad game plan, bro. You're still in the prime of your partying career. Listen, this isn't just some club event. This is a festival centered around you. Featuring your favorite artists, amazing food, killer cocktails, Polynesian beach performers. And I even got the Wynn in Vegas to pop up an encore beach club VIP section. We'll call it Grand Beach.
Rocks, buddy.
Woo! Oh. Dancing, bikinis, partying. You belong back on the field, blocking, scoring, spiking with elite talent. Don't worry. I already booked the best talent in the game.
That's not what I mean. The lineup is already booked. Who are we talking?
You ever hear of Cascade, Diplo, Rick Ross, Flo Rida, DJ Carnage, and my boy Blau?
He knows me well.
Okay.
He used that sound.
Maybe we call an audible, but just for this year. You heard him. We're taking our talents to South Beach. Now named Grand Beach. It's going to be the wildest big game weekend party ever. Hands down, ever. You guys ready for the first Grand Beach party ever? Get your tickets now before they sell out. GrandBeach.com. See you there.
Okay, so I watch Jersey Shore on repeat. The first season of Jersey Shore, I think, was over 10 years ago. That's the promo for Jersey Shore from 10 years ago.
I agree.
That Pauly D used to play that. That sound is almost used comically now. Yes, of course.
That was actually terrible.
I mean,
well, the video's got like three Gronks are all talking to each other.
Ew.
Obviously makes it work out well.
It makes me not like him.
Oh, come on.
Kind of douchey.
But you knew,
of course.
Kind of douchey.
I love
Gronk. I'm a huge Gronk fan. That was douchey.
Oh, you knew it was going
to
be that.
I don't know. I don't know if it had to be like
that. I didn't think the CBD thing was douchey. I actually thought it was good. This was terrible.
Well, I like that there's Polynesian dancing.
Polynesian dancing.
That was me wild.
That sound. Like, that's like you.
That is from the first season of Jersey Shore.
Yep.
I mean, that is DJ Pauly DelVecchio.
And my boy Blau. That was me wild. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Live from the psychopathic Hatchet Office Center in Detroit Murderous, the Hatchet Action News Team, slapping the news upside your bitch ass.
Hello, everybody. I'm Fats Pepper.
I'm Lord Blau.
Source in all things Juggalo gathering.
I mean, this is a Gathering of the Juggalos commercial.
Rob Gronkowski's promo makes the Juggalos promo look like it was done by, like, Miles Davis in, like, 1950.
Who do we got headlining on that main stage?
Real guy. Who do we have on that stage? The Insane Clown Posse.
Okay.
Ripping as they always do. Who knows what crazy antics they may pull out this year?
Blaze, your dead homie. He wears a clock to let you know what time it is.
Also, the lovable Posse.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Ben, go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Influencer Fred. I'm just curious, as an influencer, at what point will you be announcing your own celebratory, outlandish, wild party extravaganza, you know, Fred Beach with Mademoiselle Muff, you know, just all the perhaps the raccoon that tried to attack you out of your garbage.
There were two of them. There were two of the raccoons that were out to attack me. And right now it is Mademoiselle Muff. Right now because of the season. But I don't know. You know, stay tuned to my gram at Fred Touchy. You never know where I might pop up some appearance.
That was me wild.
Only one I follow.
Thank you. That's right. I'm influencing everybody.
I mean, how many people are saying Fire Festival 2 right now?
How many people are saying I'm not going to this?
No, I mean, it's going to be packed.
I'm fine, but I don't like you if you're going to
get
it.
The high fives, though. You know, that's
he did say you will.
He said that you'll get high fives.
There's a lot of juggalos, a lot of thuggalos. Plus, there's a lot of jug-hos.
Were they juggaloos? I forget what it was.
Do you know how ugly the people at that thing are going to be?
I don't know about that.
Miami.
Oh, my God.
Have you been to Miami?
No. Not yes, I've been to Miami, and there are very attractive women there.
I'm saying
if you're giving me a collection of parties, and one of them is Gronk's Polynesian Dance Jam, I'm going to guess the beautiful people aren't attending that.
See, but the thing is you're looking at just the Gronk part. Because, right, the Gronk cruise, yes. It would be a boat full of gumps. However, like, people would go, if Diplo played in downtown Miami, it's going to be packed with good-looking women. Like, that's the kind of lab that attracts good-looking women.
I am telling you that it's going to be every, like, Pats fan that, like, crushes, like, 18 hot dogs a game.
Now, what kind of people are going to be there?
Polynesian beach performers.
It's going to be uglier than the Mike Ditka cigar party.
I'm not quite sure that's the case.
Brian, go ahead.
Hey, if you had a six-month tour going from California to New York, who do you think would get more girls pregnant, the Gronk Beach Tour or the Fisher and Eckersley Harley Tour?
All right, well,
now we're talking.
I mean, you got to ride bitch on the back of this cycle. But I will tell you that there will be a lot of people that are already pregnant at the Rob Gronkowski party, because I imagine a lot of very thin guys with very fat women, like you would find at a fair. It's
$150 to get in.
I mean, I'm telling you. Now, they'll hire people to go. Like, they'll hire, like, people to, like, go in, and they'll you know, paper it and everything else to, like, hot chicks. No, but actually, you don't need no festival. All he needs is a sweet roach, four tires, and an attitude.
Polynesian beach performers.
Oh. That is going to be like a fair. That's going to be like everyone from like Ocala, Florida that made the trip. Ew.
And the only reason I think that it's not is just because of the artists that are playing. That's it.
What would you guess the average set time is? Like the average time they're playing?
Each band? An hour.
Oh!
No, Rick Roth can give you like 30. You said Vince Neil can only do so much.
A guy like Diplo goes up there and plays his own stuff. Yeah, you don't have to do anything.
But I think it's, first of all, it's during the day. I'm thinking that you get two songs an artist.
Listen, this isn't just some club event.
Yeah, 20. Well, fine, 20, because they let it ride.
I would say you're going to get it probably an hour each.
No way.
Because most of these guys are DJs. Like, Cascade's a DJ. Diplo's a DJ.
Well, yeah, Cascade.
Like, fine. Blau is a DJ.
I mean,
they're going to play for an hour. That's easy.
Well, they'll just stand. Fine, they'll stand there for an hour. But if you think Rick Ross is doing a show.
Maybe not Rick Ross.
You're out of your mind.
No, but everybody else. Anyway. 1 to 7 p.m., so it's 6 hours long.
Yeah, it's 6 hours long. It is. It's 6 hours long, and it's 5 hours and 59 minutes too long.
Polynesian beach performers.
Do you think the winners?
Scrawny
the
white guys rubbing the back of very fat women.
They're not at Storyland. They're not at. They're not in line in an amusement park. That's when you usually see the public displays.
They're in Florida, and I don't care if you're Miami or where you are. It is going to be everyone like, oh, I love Gronk. Sloppy Joe's. Slim Jim. All right. We'll be back. We'll talk to Will Brinson about what's going on in the NFL.
Listen, this isn't just some club event. Polynesian beach performers.
The game. This is where Boston talks sports. Toucher and Rich. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Will Brinson joins us weekly. He is the senior NFL writer for CBSSports.com. He joins us on the Volkswagen Expert Hotline. Mr. Brinson, hello, sir.
What's going on, guys? Hard to believe we got to witness another back-breaking red zone interception by Philip Rivers last night in the waning moment football game. Here we are.
Let's briefly talk about what a disaster doing the NFL games in Mexico is. I remember, like, in the past years, people complained about the field, how awful it was. I know that we had spoken with some people who went down there with the team. I think our own Scott Zolak. The security was obviously an issue and things like that. But the fact that in the middle of the game, referees were replacing divots in the field that were the size of basketballs is inexcusable if you're the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, we had this argument on the podcast last night. I was pointing out how bad it was, and some folks made the counterpoint that Heinz Field and certainly Redskins, the FedEx Field, might be worse, and I get it. But, I mean, like, last year they had to cancel the game because – they had a Shakira concert on that field the night before. And this year they made sure like it was perfectly pristine for a week. The second those guys got out there and were running around, and I'd be curious to know if they changed cleats at halftime because it was a whole different ball game. The entire first half, guys were getting just eaten up by turf monsters. The very first play, Hunter Henry catches the ball, turns, and just eats it face first on the turf. Nobody could cut certain ways. They had to adjust the field. We saw Damian Williams go down. You know, Tyreek Hill pulled a hamstring. I mean, I get that you got to prepare for the field and both teams are playing on it, but it just felt dangerous, and it felt like the NFL cares way more about expanding its global footprint than helping out the poor hamstrings and kneecaps of everybody else.
Well, I get why they do it in London, even though I'm against it. I mean, that would be kind of ridiculous having a team over there, especially if you're a player in London. I understand that because there's a stadium that's ready to go. There's obviously a ton of sponsors ready to go. The field is pristine. Yet in Mexico, it doesn't seem like they're ever ready. Like the conditions are they're not prepared to have an NFL team. Why do they continue to put the product down there?
Because they like money. They like money. And the crazy thing, too, is like, you know, the Tessitore, they cut, you know, he's like, look there, bug. you know, it's so high up here, you gotta have oxygen 24/7. Isn't it great? It's like, no, that's not great. If you need to be huffing oxygen 24/7 after every play, that's not a great thing. I mean, maybe just don't play football 7,500 feet on knee deep grass. I don't know. It's crazy. I don't really get it. I think it's cool to take football to another culture and to show, but it's like, was Mexico starred for NFL games? I mean, did they, you know, were there that many people there? Not really. It's a little, I'm with you. It's a little different in London. It just feels like they're forcing it, and they will do anything to globalize the sport, probably because they saw how much money the NBA was getting from China up until Daryl Morey, fired a metaphorical nuclear warhead that way.
Okay, so this has been weird, Will, and we've been talking about it this morning, but, you know, Tom Brady, despite the 9-1 record, he's been very sullen at his post-game press conferences. You saw him, you know, on Sunday. You know, I think it was like a minute and 40 seconds long. He was giving five-word answers, not very happy. And there's a lot of talk this morning about whether or not he's actually even putting any blame on himself, or he just seems to be bitter at everything around him. And there's a quote that he made last year that if the game wasn't any fun anymore, that's when he would end up quitting the game. He has seemed as joyless as I've ever seen him, especially with a 9-1 record. And it just, in my opinion, doesn't bode well for his future with the game. What do you think is going on there with Tom Brady right now, and why he's all of a sudden Eeyore?
Eeyore. I think it probably has to do with how his body feels and how he realizes his body's going to feel for the next couple of months. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe he is on pace to break his personal record for most passing attempts in a single season. The highest number that he ever had before was 2012, with 637. He's on pace for 640. And he's doing it at a slightly – he doesn't look terrible, but he's doing it at a lower level than he might normally. Right. His yards for – is it 6.8?
He probably can't get rid of the ball. It's probably like a second slower than he used to be. I don't know the stats, but maybe that means he gets hit more.
Oh, he's definitely getting hit more. I mean, the offensive line is in tatters, and it's the worst offensive line he's played behind in terms of just right now. And I'm not I mean, look, that offensive line has been great for a long time, and they just have a bunch of injuries. I'm not saying that they're bad players.
Yeah, you better put that caveat out there, or else you're in for it. I mean, that's going to go viral.
A, I don't want a bunch of people tweeting me. I don't need Dante Scarnecchia knocking down my house. And if I run into Joe Tooney again, I don't want him to, you know, get mad at me for saying that they stink. So they don't stink. But look, Tom Brady he's throwing the ball a ton. They can't run the football. He's getting bruised and battered. I mean, he got knocked around in that Eagles game bad. And, you know, we're only 10 games into the season. He's got six more regular season games of this. And I wonder if he doesn't think, okay, this is going to make it really difficult to make a playoff run if I end up, you know, throwing 640 times this season, and if we can't get a run game going. And I think he's not wrong about that, right? And maybe he knew that Gronk was going to release some video where he thought, you know, might be an announcement he's coming back to football, but really he's just,
oh, it was,
you
know, so cool. that event looks so fun.
I didn't see it. Are you being sarcastic?
No. So you don't know what he's doing?
No, I didn't see it.
He's doing a music festival down in Miami. It's like during Super Bowl week. The Saturday of the Super Bowl, he is doing a music festival with him and like Rick Ross and a bunch of other people.
Okay, that's really cool. All right, I take it back. Sorry, Gronk, you're awesome and amazing.
Yeah, it's going to be all the beautiful people are going to be there.
Invite me to your party, Gronk, please. I just think Brady's getting bruised and battered. He's a little tired. He's 42, and it's November, and maybe isn't this the time of the year, like, I mean, this is the time of year my wife starts complaining about football. I imagine this is the time of year where Tom Brady's wife starts complaining about football. So I would guess that he's probably catching it from all fronts. He doesn't know if his team's going to be better. He's sort of facing a bit of mortality here. His buddy's throwing a music party, and he's grinding and getting beat up. So, I mean, I don't know. It's the opposite of, like, Philip Rivers, right? Philip Rivers looks happy as a clam throwing another – horrific interception at the end of the game to go to 4-7, and Tom Brady is just the sad sack moving to 9-1.
I wonder if he found out right before like that press conference that Gronk wasn't coming back, and instead he's going to be throwing like a techno party down the street, and that was just the final straw. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. He was just like,
or maybe he thought he was going to do something a lot cooler.
You know what though? But isn't that like perfect? Like if you imagined a perfect life for Rob Gronkowski after football, wouldn't it involve a techno party during Super Bowl week?
Yeah, like a corny party.
Yes, that's his heaven. I didn't say it's not his heaven. He's living his best life right now.
I just said that if you're going there expecting to see wildebeest, I think you will not be disappointed.
Gronk, like, you know he's going to be wearing some of those, like black and white, like, swirly shades, too.
Sure.
Or, like, in a tank top for, like, a week.
Yeah, he'll be there for all 5 hours, too. He'll just be hanging out.
He'll do one radio appearance. Or like one radio run where he promotes a music festival, and he'll be wearing the shades and the tank top the whole time. And they go, oh, it's gonna be awesome. And then he'll party for 5 hours. And I love him. I love Gronk. I'm jealous of him. He's the best.
Okay, so you mentioned how they can't run the ball, and that Tom Brady might be thinking, you know, with the rate I'm throwing and the way I'm getting pushed around, that this might not be a recipe to win a Super Bowl. Is there a team that you think could steal home field from them? Is it just Baltimore? Or, I mean, they're starting to separate themselves from the rest of the AFC in terms of record.
Oh, I think we're pretty separated at this point, right? I mean, the Chiefs are still there, and the Chiefs get to play the Patriots. So, theoretically, that could happen. But they're a full two games in the loss column behind the Ravens and one in the win column. So, and they're on a bye this week. So, I'm not sure that's... and Baltimore gets the Rams on Monday night, which should be an awesome game for like 5 seconds. I think Baltimore's the answer. And it just comes down to, you know, is New England going to be able to hold serve over the next, you know, or win the next three games? And that's basically what it comes down to. Can they beat Dallas, Houston, and Kansas City? If they go 1-3 in those games, or 1-2 in those games, they're in big trouble. The Ravens still have to play the Rams, the 49ers, and then, you know, Buffalo, the Jets, Cleveland, and Pittsburgh. So, like, I think worst case for the Ravens is absolute worst case is they finish 12-4, right? And so the Patriots have to get the 13 wins if they want that number one seed. Very doable, but these next three games are tough. And look, I mean, you know, they're not the worst pass rush teams that they're going to play against. They should. Their schedule sets up pretty. This is why I don't get why Tom Brady's so mad. The schedule sets up really well for the final quadrant push to find out if you can run the ball effectively and to find out if what your offense is going to look like heading into the postseason. Kansas City, Cincinnati, Buffalo, Miami. I mean, that's a pretty good stretch run. Maybe he's just mad that this season is shrinking his career shelf life by like another 6 months or something. I don't know. But yeah, I think it's the Ravens or the Patriots, and man, they're probably going to meet in the AFC championship game. It's probably going to be freaking awesome.
Yeah. It will be interesting the second time they see him, how that affects the outcome. Will Brinson, you see him writing over there for CBSSports.com, and you have a podcast that's 8 days a week.
Well, yeah. Maybe that should be the tagline. It's Monday through Friday, 8 shows in total. The Pick 6 podcast on Apple Podcasts. We have a great Monday Night Football recap. We'll have Brady Quinn on the show tomorrow, as we do every Tuesday. Yeah, he told a fascinating story about, I can't say it on the radio, but it's a funny story about one of his old Browns teammates. And then we do picks and previews all week long.
Well, is he still married to the gymnast?
Yeah. Alicia
Sacramone.
Yeah.
Okay. Three kids now, I think.
Well, she's cool. What about that line this week for the Pats, 6.5 Cowboys?
Jerry, what's up?
this is a trap game for the Pats. Trap game.
I saw it get down to like 5.5. Oh. I think the Cowboys, here's the thing. The Cowboys I would take the Cowboys plus the points because I think, Dak is playing awesome. Like, people aren't talking about him. He should be in the discussion with Lamar Jackson and Russell Wilson as like a third, you know, the third MVP candidate. But B, this game actually sets up perfect for the Cowboys to do like stupid Jason Garrett things and still cover because they can run the ball. You can run the ball against the Patriots. We saw the Eagles do it. I mean, until when Lane Johnson went out, they were before that they were moving the ball effectively. And
you saw the Browns do it. I mean, Chubb had his way during that game.
Yeah. Ravens. Yeah. Yep. All right.
So I think if they lead Zeke, then the Cowboys cover. If they try to lean on Dak, then the Patriots roll.
So you will you reach out to Mr. Murray, don't you?
Yeah, we chat all the time.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah. We like to talk gambling.
You like to talk gambling? You take his advice, Will, or does he take yours?
No, I don't. He doesn't take mine. I mean, he might.
A little both.
He might hear mine. He might. I'm really. I'm not. It's probably give and take, I think.
Yeah. He lays bets for me. He takes an intolerable vig, though. It's huge.
130? He takes a 430.
I take 110. Well, actually, it's 220 a bet. So, yeah.
Look, here's some gambling advice. Don't bet on NC State, ever.
They suck.
Or Phillip Rivers.
Carolina, too. The Panthers.
All right. Well, Will Brinson, thank you so much for the time.
See you guys.
All right. All right.
Just get the gambling edge in on all these.
If we go to Miami, if the Patriots make the Super Bowl, are you going to spend the extra day there so you can go to the Gronk?
No, of course not. No.
Okay, I was going to say.
If you got three tickets, who would you invite?
I'm not going to stay there that Saturday. Yeah. Unless I'm going to the game.
Take everyone but me.
Dude, I would love to go. Like, I would love to stay all weekend long, but they always fly us back on Friday. I would love to stay. I'd love to go to the Super Bowl. We've been to Radio Row a zillion times, never been to the Super Bowl.
I've been to the Super Bowl, but I was seven, so it doesn't count. All right, and it was during a ice storm at the Pontiac Silverdome. Oh, the pomp and circumstance. All right, Rich, we have the stack coming up. What will we talk about?
The Astros continue to be the dumbest team in sports. The Baseball Hall of Fame ballots have been released, so get your nerd hats on and get ready to debate. And, Fred, I have a story especially for you.
Oh, I hope it involves buttholes. All right, here are the headlines.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Be listening tomorrow morning at 7:30 and 9:30 for your chance to score a pair of tickets to see the Pats take on the Cowboys this Sunday, courtesy of Dunkin'. This Patriots season, the pregame starts at Dunkin' for DD Perks members, because on game day, Dunkin' is offering Patriots fans two times the points on any size coffee, so don't just celebrate your team's success from the sidelines. This excludes cold brew, nitro, and frozen coffee. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Again, that's tomorrow at 7:30 and 9:30.
All right. The Hall of Fame, Baseball Hall of Fame ballots are out. I will give you the names of the newest, and you tell me if they're getting in on the first ballot.
Again, my whole reason is if you were famous.
Yep. Well, there's a lot of famous people on this list.
Okay.
So just yell first ballot, all right, or not. Bobby Abreu.
No.
No.
Josh Beckett.
No. No.
Boy, his but
well,
you
he
look
had a great
at his,
run. He's gonna he could
his numbers are pretty high.
I don't care about numbers.
Okay. Jerk in Boston.
Heath Bell.
Oh,
who?
Heath Bell. Adam Dunn.
No.
Oh, good guy though.
He hit bombs though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good guy.
Rafael Furcal.
No.
No.
Jason Giambi.
No.
Ooh. No.
Derek Jeter.
Jason Giambi.
Nope. Did I say Jason Giambi? Yeah.
No. He's got the steroids thing, too.
Okay.
Derek Jeter.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I think he'll make it.
There's some people who, I think the hot take is that he won't first. And I'm like,
well, because Myron Rivera deserved it.
Cliff Lee.
No.
Carlos Pena.
No.
Now, the big news is that because it is going to be his ninth year on the ballot, is that correct? Kurt Schilling, who got the highest percentage of people that did not get in last year, are saying that maybe, just maybe, he'll be put on there.
Well, I've heard that a piece of Mickey Mantle's excrement is getting more votes than Kurt Schilling.
I don't know, Fred.
If he makes the Hall of Fame, why would you reward that guy?
This is I don't.
And by the way, you can debate his numbers not being Hall of Fame caliber. You're going almost exclusively by his postseason performance.
Kurt Schilling doesn't think he's a Hall of Famer, but based off who's eligible, he might get the vote.
How come it took Jack Morris so long to get in? Because Jack Morris performed in the postseason, much like Kurt Schilling. Yeah. He just didn't put paint on his sock.
Clemens also.
I would put Clemens.
Now, Clemens and Bonds, I think they're going to hold them out one more year and then give it to him.
Is it 10 years?
I believe so.
Is that how many years you're going to be on the ballot?
Yeah.
Okay, because last year was their eighth, so this will be their ninth year. Clemens, Schilling, and Bonds all in the same year.
I'd put Clemens and Bonds in.
I think Schilling might be close. I don't think he deserves it.
This is the stupidest thing. I've always thought if you're good enough to get in, who cares what year?
Bonds and Clemens are no-brainers now.
Then stop with this stupid, we shall punish you and make you wait. If you're either good enough to be in or you're not. Well,
they put Burt Blylevin in the Hall of Fame.
But you guys do agree. Bonds and Clemens, forget about anything else. They are Hall
of Famers. When you go
to Sammy Sosa too.
When you go, Sosa wasn't good for that long.
Sucked.
But if you go,
he hit home runs, but he sucked.
Yeah, he sucked. But if you go, especially sports talk baseball,
what about Manny Ramirez?
Manny probably will. He failed 3 drug tests. He failed 3.
I thought this was who was famous, who was good for baseball.
I would put Manny Ramirez in the Hall of Fame because
he's probably the best right-handed hitter of our time.
Pujols.
Okay, second right. Whatever.
So you're cool with Barry Bonds being in, but not Manny Ramirez.
I think Barry Bonds, if we all know his story, he because everyone else got famous, he was like, screw this, I'm going all out.
Yeah, because he was good before he was already talented. Yeah.
And then Clemens just longevity.
Yeah.
Oh sure. Yeah, longevity numbers. I mean, yeah, of course. Yeah, Clemens. There's no reason he shouldn't be in. By the way, Fred, the Astros. Not only are they the dumbest team in the world, that signal stealing thing where they're knocking on a trash can. So once again, if you weren't aware of how the Astros were busted stealing their signals, what they would do is they'd put a camera in the outfield, and it would there'd be a live video right outside of the dugout in a hallway between the dugout and the clubhouse, and there would be someone sitting right in front of a little laptop computer where they could see what signals are being sent from the catcher. And then if they saw that it was anything other than a fastball, they would hit this big trash can and make a loud noise, in which I guess in most games you could hear it on the broadcast, the batter was able to hear. Well, Fred, in the Astros World Series victory video they came out with, someone went back and watched it, and sure enough, there's a whole bunch of scenes of the players walking right past their setup, and you can see a table right behind the dugout with a laptop on it and a giant trash can.
I thought it was just like the first major league where they just had the two people in the box hitting the drum.
Yep, and there was another story that came out yesterday that they're saying that the team might have attempted to go even beyond those like primal signals of knocking on trash cans. As a matter of fact, according to Joel Sherman of the New York Post, he said that he hears Astro players may have worn a buzzer device on their body.
Oh, kind of like Casino?
Yep, just like Casino, the thing that tapped on you. The guy at the other table was seeing what kind of hand the other dude had. He said, in recent days, I've had scouts and executives talk to me about a variety of methods they think have been employed, such as realistic-looking electronic bandages placed on a player's body that buzzes in real time to signal what is coming. One buzz for a fastball, for example. If the surveillance determines what type of pitching is coming, said one person I spoke to has ties to the Astros and said he had already spoken to the MLB investigators about it. Now, that actually I'll give him a little more credit for than the stupid thump, 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 knocking
cool.
on a trash can.
Yeah.
That's at least got a little,
got a little
little pizzazz.
Still wondering what's going to happen to Alex Cora with that, though.
Who cares?
I'm beating on that drum, though. I feel like it's going to trickle down somehow.
What are they going to do? Are they going to suspend him?
No, they won't do anything.
They're going to, he's got a stain on his reputation. These guys even care? You can't take away the championship.
All right. What do we got coming up, Rich?
Fred, I got a story especially for you that involves one of your favorite bands.
Fantastic.
Your favorite band's doing something that really didn't go according to plan.
Oh, well, I look forward to hearing that. We'll be right back.
More Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
98.5 the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what else is going on?
What if your band was going to do a super cool rock and roll thing and play a concert for a bunch of sharks and no sharks showed up?
Wait, so they would be like under the sea?
No. See, what would happen is that you would get on a glass bottom boat and you would perform on the boat. And then because of the low frequencies, the sharks would all show up and you would rock those sharks. And let's say that you were supposed to do that. And A, no sharks showed up. And B, you didn't even have your lead singer with you because he had the squirts.
Oh.
That band would be none other than Kiss.
I did not. Hey, I was not ill. I was just peeking through the bottom of the glass bowl.
Okay, well, in Australia, there was this big promotion that was set up. It was Kiss is going to rock for some sharks, in which 8 different people who were going to be able to go on a boat that was across from them, and they were going to play, and a bunch of sharks were going to go underneath them. But apparently things did not go according to plan. Let's go down to Australian news, shall we?
Cruise show that rocked the boat.
Here we go!
It's not your traditional sailing attire, but is instantly recognizable. Emotional performance for just 8 fans.
Well, I would say it's one of the most unusual, eclectic things we ever did, that's for sure.
To score on the tickets, it was a surreal moment. It was, for me, just like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory and opening up that golden ticket.
Despite having to cancel the Australian tour due to frontman Paul Stanley's illness, Kiss's remaining 3 rockers hit the high seas for a promised concert off Port Lincoln to play to lucky ticket holders and whatever great white sharks happened to be circling on the tour, provided by Adventure Bay Charters. The band's arrival had local Kiss diehards shouting it out loud.
All 8 of them and no sharks.
You know what they say about going overseas?
What is that?
Never eat out of the hamper. You'll get sick.
Really?
Yeah. One time I was down in Mexico, and I was hiding in some dirty laundry.
Okay.
And I got Montezuma's revenge.
That's not good. You don't want to do that. We have to get to this because, unfortunately, there is more evidence that has come out.
Oh, God.
So, it will be disputed for generations, who indeed was the foreigner on last night's CNBC broadcast of the Chris Matthews show? Was it Chris Matthews on the left side of the screen? Or was it Representative Eric Swalwell, who the entire frame was filled with?
Might have to get odds on this one.
And at one point, he was leaning to his left as he was speaking. If you did not hear the original, here's how things went down.
Who were on the phone listening to the president talk about this swap of dirt for U.S. military aid.
Chris, so far, the evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election. And the complaint that I've heard...
Now, Representative Swalwell has denied it, which usually means he supplied it.
He's not only denied it, he's denied even hearing it.
Yep, that is an actual text exchange that is being published, which hysterically, on legitimate websites and news sites, you know.
Cheap.
And you hear that sound right there. Now, evidence has been presented to us, so I give you Exhibit 1, Fred. And that is another fart that was actually done by Chris Matthews. Is this the same farter as the fart we heard in that last clip?
Scott, just give me the skinny here. Can we get a clean, fair, honest election in Florida tomorrow?
Can you imagine if you're running against that guy in a campaign and you just play the fart in slow motion and go, can you trust Representative
Swalwell?
The man dealt it and denied.
He can't even admit his own shortcomings.
Cheap.
Okay, so there was that one, but there's also, believe it or not, Fred, a second fart. Chris Matthews is a very prolific farter, apparently.
Well, I mean, there you go. I mean, there is evidence, circumstantial evidence.
So let's take a listen.
So that really depends on how it's ultimately structured. If they were able to make some sort of attack.
Okay, yeah. That was a growler and she was talking. Hang on, let me see.
Cheap.
There's the original.
So that really depends on how it's ultimately structured. If they were able to make some sort of attack.
Cheap.
Yeah,
Scott, just give me the skinny here. Can we get a clean, fair, honest election in Florida?
Oh, he's flustered there.
Yeah, he got a little shaken up. That was his first time, probably.
Yeah, that was. He was a little flustered there.
Yep.
I mean, when you talk with such conviction and passion.
Cheap.
It's Chris Matthews.
Not Tim Russert, though.
Appeared on that program.
That was a haul.
Remember when someone got mad at us for playing that fart because Tim Russert was dead?
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, we got like some email that was like, yeah, you guys suck.
What say you, Nancy Grace? That was the best, because that was like her stomach screaming at her, too.
That was just, Nancy Grace is just an awful person. And then she was all dolled up, and her image was going to change, and her body just, that was like Carrie, when all the pig's blood fell on her.
You know, I bet if it was Chris Matthews and someone asked him, he would just like straight up just be like, yep, yeah, it was me.
I don't know, it's a dangerous game. Your credibility could go out the window.
That it could.
All right.
Tomorrow at 8 a.m., we have a brand new edition of Brookline 911. Everyone is angry in Brookline. It is the angriest city in at least the country, if not the world. And we have real 911 calls to back that up. And tomorrow, we got a barn burner. We got a barn burner at 8 o'clock. You haven't been in here for one of these yet, have you?
I have not been here for one, nope.
All right.
And at 7:30 and 9:30, you'll get tickets to see the Patriots take on the Cowboys. And there's going to be a 98-5 over-under appearance out there.
There will be a Bankroll Boys tailgate in the parking lot. Not sure where yet, but we'll have more information probably by Thursday.
Very nice.
Will Andy Wong be there?
No. Just myself, Dan Lifshatz, and everybody else.
The Wong father's not going to bring a truck of food?
I'll invite the Wong father if he wants. Ooh.
He's got the
mobile truck.
Yeah.
Oh.
He goes out there. He spreads the word. All right, Mark Bertrand is out again waiting for Zoe.
No, Zoe's here too.
Oh, hey, all right.
We're here. Yeah. I would just say that when Tim Russert died and everyone was eulogizing him, they all said he had a sense of humor. So I'm sure Tim Russert would have died about his farting from beyond the grave.
That's probably true.
Appeared on that program.
I mean, if you're in your car, that just rocked your bass right
there. And by the way, it wasn't like the day he died. I mean, it was like a year later. But
everybody said Tim Russert had a great sense of humor, so have at it. That's what
I just thought that was a funny email. They're like, you know, he's dead. Oh, my bad.
It's okay.
I didn't know that.
So you guys get to talk beach parties for 4 hours now?
Oh, I think we're going to start with that, Zoe. Time for you to admit that Gronk is not coming back.
I don't want to hear anything about it.
We'll talk about it right now.
I don't want to hear anything.
Get Zoe's reaction to it.
That party seems like it's going to be so fun.
You going to go? You going to go, Zoe?
No.
I already signed up for the presale to get us tickets.
Knock yourself out. I told
you. You are going to go. Scott Zolak is going to go.
We're going.
I'm not going.
We're going.
I'm not going.
I'm getting you a ticket.
You have no clue where this thing. You don't know. It's going to be a freaking zoo.
I already looked at the website. I'm good. The pictures.
I'm all set.
Yeah, it's going to be
Fred's kind of place.
Yeah, right.
A lot of influence.
Add Fred on Instagram.
Hey, you know how many great Instagram posts you could have there, Fred?
I might go just for Flow Rider.
I would go just to see how much everyone weighed. All right, because I have a feeling that. There's going to be some walruses.
Let's get a Sports Hub cabana there. What do you say?
I'll be long at it.
Yeah, Rich will pay for it.
Sure.
Yeah, that's exactly his scene. All right, okay. So you guys enjoy yourselves. That'll do it for us. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.